This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Five people are dead after a plane crash on Catalina. The candidates for LA District Attorney clashed during the debate on KNX, but first, bracing for Milton in Florida.
This is my home. This is my everything. This is all I have right now.
Time is running out to evacuate those areas in Florida about to be hit by Hurricane Milton, now a Category 4 hurricane, Tampa, Fort Myers. And despite the danger, some people are determined to stay.
I don't have anywhere to go, and I'm afraid to get stranded somewhere on the interstate. You run out of gas. What do you do?
The head of FEMA, Deanne Criswell, was on CBS Mornings.
Nobody needs to die from this storm. I want people to get out of harm's way.
Tampa could be in line for a once-in-a-century direct hit. More than a dozen counties in western Florida are now under mandatory evacuation orders. And she says she gets it. People want to stay, but it shouldn't be at the expense of their lives.
People want to stay in their home and protect their home, but this storm is going to be like nothing that they have ever seen before. And I think the message that I try to get across, when we think about evacuation, we often think about these long lines of traffic going out of state, when in reality, you may only need to go a few miles.
Hurricane Milton on approach now, just getting word of a tornado crossing I-75 there. Disney World is closed. Airports closed. Hundreds of flights have been canceled. AAA says there's a ripple effect across the country.
Airlines are jockeying around to get planes where they need to be today because they were originally scheduled to go places out of Florida and then continue their route for the day. So that's what we mean by a ripple effect.
Dump trucks have been mobilized to clean up debris because the governor has warned that a lot of it left from the last hurricane could become missiles or spears coming at people and kill them. Milton again will be historic with at least a 10-foot storm surge, life-threatening winds, and catastrophic flooding.
And on top of that, Vicki, Florida has had a record-breaking amount of rain this season, so even places not getting those winds and that storm surge are going to have to deal with all of that extra water. The National Transportation Safety Board will be trying to find out what went wrong when a plane leaving Catalina Airport crashed shortly after takeoff, killing five people on board. John Baird's been working that story. He joins us live. Good morning, John.
Good morning. We're still trying to piece everything together. The FAA has confirmed that a Beechcraft 95, a twin-engine plane, crashed during takeoff around 8:05 last night from Catalina. Now, someone on social media had posted a registration number for a plane, which shows it's owned by a West Hills man who used to run a Santa Monica aviation firm that provided flight training and aircraft maintenance here. And information from FlightAware shows the plane with that tail number took off earlier from Santa Monica, 5:57 p.m., and landed in Catalina, the Avalon Airport, 23 minutes later. It was on the ground for nearly 2 hours before the fatal flight. Daniel Dominguez is with the Sheriff's Department. He says emergency crews rushed out and discovered the wreckage.
Unfortunately, we can't confirm that there were five adults who were pronounced deceased. It started last night on October 8th at approximately 8:08 p.m. Our Avalon Sheriff's Station received a 911 SOS emergency notification from a cellular device.
That's right. A cell phone automatically notified the Sheriff's Department about the crash. Authorities rushed out there about a mile west of the Catalina Airport and found the wreckage and the five bodies. The response included the Sheriff's Department, L.A. County Fire, Avalon Fire, and now the FAA and the NTSB. They've secured the site of the crash, and we're waiting for people from the L.A. County Coroner's Office to arrive on the scene. Brian and Vicki.
Hurricane Milton has been downgraded, as we said, to a Category 4 storm, but that's still enormous and expected to hit Florida tonight. Tampa could see a direct hit. We talked about it this morning with a reporter with Naples Press, Tim Ayton.
You are at the very south end of these warnings. I mean, still, you're expecting some large storm surge, and I think a lot of people know the topography of Florida. It's flat. There's not much elevation. What's the community doing to prepare for this?
Well, they have issued mandatory evacuations for anyone in the A and B zones, which includes everything west of US 41, Tamiami Trail, for those who might be familiar with it. So anything that hugs the Gulf Coast in Florida pretty much are ordered to evacuate. And some areas north of us, even zone C, so it's even further inland. But so that's thousands of people. It includes the entire city of Naples, the incorporated city, which only has 20,000 people, you know, but all those people have been told to evacuate because they've had recent flooding, and we've had been very waterlogged from this other storm that just preceded Milton that was an unnamed storm. They called the Blob out in the Gulf. And so that has really been happening the last few days. So we already are pretty drenched. And so this one is going to you know, have storm surge, no doubt, which, you know, we just experienced a little over a week ago from Helene when she passed by, and we did get storm surge. And the worst that we've ever received was Hurricane Ian 2 years ago, that it was pretty bad for Naples.
Now, I was actually looking at the roads yesterday, 75, that's Alligator Alley there. That was all backed up for people heading east over towards the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. Is there a gas issue there? I heard from several people, I've got family there as well, saying that you pull off the highway and the gas stations were empty.
Yeah, it's spotty. I mean, they're saying there's not a gas shortage, and I found that even stations that did have bags over all the nozzles then eventually did get gas and reopened. So it's very spotty. So it's tough. You can't count on it. I mean, obviously, during preceding a hurricane, folks are told to top off their tanks and be prepared. And the thing is, when you're evacuating, one of the things that people need to think about, you're stuck sometimes in bumper to bumper traffic, as you probably witnessed in aerials of the Alligator Alley, and you don't know how much gas you're going to use. You're stuck there. My first hurricane was in 92 with Hurricane Andrew, and I lived in the Keys then, and it took us 5 hours to get out of the Keys to evacuate, and it was very grueling, and that has weighed on our decisions for evacuation ever since.
Do you think most people in the area took this seriously and got out?
Well, I think so, but I think a lot more complacency really didn't have a chance to seep in, as it always does after these major storms. And because of Ian, it was still very fresh in people's minds. A lot of rebuilding still hasn't happened. I mean, we lost half of the Naples Pier 2 years ago, and then with Helene, damaged a little more, and so it was closed. But it's people, I think, are taking this one a lot more seriously than they would have if we hadn't have had Ian and Helene just, you know, recently.
That is Naples Press journalist Tim Ayton. Health insurance premiums continuing to rise, a piece of Vegas history, pile of rubble this morning. But first, the big DA debate here on KNX News. Right now, 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. Well, did you listen live on KNX to the DA's debate? George Gascon is trying to hold on to the job. Nathan Hochman, who's polling now way ahead, is trying to take the win on Election Day. We've got a pair of reports now, starting with our Bob Brill.
In one of the nastier debates in recent history, the two men ended up facing a local citizen who said he was fearful and that many people had left L.A. County because of the crime problem. Hochman put the blame at the feet of his opponent.
They look to the DA's office to do its job, to hold prisoners, to hold defendants accountable, but do it in a smart, proportional, and effective way. So I would say to Mr. Garcia, 4 more years of Gascon, you might join everybody else. Get your bags packed and go join the people who have left Los Angeles if you care about your safety.
Gascon told the citizen he was sorry the man felt the way he did, but Hochman's plans were not going to solve anything.
One crime is one too many crimes, but I tell you what I will not do, which my opponent does on a regular basis. It's the fear-mongering, it's the dystopian view of our community, it's feeding into the worst of us instead of looking to see how can we work together to have a better future and do it not from a place of privilege.
Recent polls show Hochman way ahead in the race. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Our Pete Demetrio picks things up when the lights and the microphones were turned off.
After the end of debate handshake, Nathan Hochman expressed a view to reporters he'd come out on top in the debate and is ahead in recent polls because people are now seeing George Gascon's record and management style, which doesn't sell to voters concerned about crime.
Mr. Gascon was defending the indefensible, and he did a poor job at that. And again, it was probably an impossible job.
because he's created a DA's office that is literally one of the most dysfunctional offices in LA DA's history, where you have 98% of his prosecutors supported his recall.
For his part, DA George Gascon says being seen as significantly behind in the polls is a place he's been before, and it doesn't scare him.
Back in 2020, mid-October, we were polling way under, and at the end of the election cycle, we were successful. We're going to continue to do the work that we're doing. I'm going to continue to reach out to the voters. We're going to continue to tell our story, and hopefully that will win the day.
Gascon says he's prepared in a second term to make changes in the office to make the criminal justice system more efficient while not abandoning a commitment to progressive ideals, while Hochman also says efficiency is something he will strive for and accomplish with a staff that will be re-energized when he takes charge. Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
If you missed the debate, and it was a good one, or you want to watch it again, it's on our website, knxnews.com.
Well, Google could be forced to break up.
A federal judge says Google's been working as an illegal monopoly, violating antitrust laws. In 2021, Google paid about $26 billion to companies like Apple and Samsung to make Google the default search engine on millions of devices. The DOJ is now considering asking that judge to force the tech giant to sell parts of its business in order to eliminate its online search monopoly. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Healthcare costs still rising. New survey from the Kaiser Family Foundation, KFF Health, shows that family plans increased by 7% this year. It's the second year of significant hikes, while individual plans were up about 6%. Although many companies are trying to absorb the cost, some small businesses struggle. About 154 million Americans and their families get health insurance through the workplace. And as a result, the survey says some employees are considering leaving their jobs for better health benefits somewhere else.
A new CDC survey finds high rates of sadness among transgender young people.
A CDC survey finds that about 3.3% of high school students identify as transgender, and another 2.2% are questioning their gender identity. But 70% of them reported feeling persistent sadness or hopelessness for a period of more than 2 weeks last year at a protest at Colorado State Capitol.
These children can't consent.
The divide on full display. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Las Vegas blew a kiss goodbye to the Tropicana with a flashy casino implosion.
A Las Vegas OG says goodbye. Tropicana, one of the oldest casinos on the Strip, was blown up in style with fireworks and music before first light on Wednesday. The casino closed in April after welcoming guests for 67 years. Tropicana's Eric Knowles.
We bid farewell to this chapter of the Tropicana Las Vegas, and let's not think of it as an ending, but as the beginning of something even greater. The legacy of the Icon Resort will always be with us, and the future holds even more excitement and opportunities.
In place of the Tropicana, a $1.5 billion baseball stadium is being built to relocate the Oakland Athletics. I'm Julie Walker.
And while the federal government's response to Hurricane Helene still being criticized, this is Hurricane Milton. It's got Florida in its eyes, going to be hitting later on tonight. Also, an Afghan national living in Oklahoma has been charged with conspiring to carry out a terrorist attack. This on Election Day. Joining us to fill us in on all of this, CBS correspondent, congressional correspondent Scott McFarland.
Scotty Mack, good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
It's been said that FEMA is on the razor's edge right now when it comes to disaster relief and the funding that it needs, saying they're going to need more. Is Congress going to be approving some more money?
This does not instill a lot of confidence, but the congressional leaders involved say it seems FEMA has enough money to get through Helene and Milton. That's not the most encouraging sign, but they think that they'll have enough to get through till Congress returns in November, in which they'll have to pass new money, potentially by the billions. The bigger issue right now, the more pressing issue financially, is the Small Business Administration, the federal agency that helps businesses deal with disaster impacts. They're going to run out of money in the coming days or weeks, and they will not have enough to get through till Congress comes back. So somebody's going to have to move on something to get new aid approved before the election. Getting Congress to come back to Washington when they're all up for re-election in a few weeks, it's a heavy lift.
Scott, the Afghan national that I just mentioned is living in Oklahoma, planning to carry out a terrorist attack on Election Day. Do we know the details of the exact attack or what this person was going to specifically do?
There are some details in the charging documents, nothing specific in terms of a location, but what the Department of Justice is alleging here is this man who came into the United States from Afghanistan in 2021 was targeting a mass shooting of some sort in a public place where there'd be crowds gathered on election day, which could presumably include any number of places with a nexus to the election, from polling places to voting areas. But what the Department of Justice is also alleging is that he had started the preparations, you know, getting the finances in order, getting the logistics going, getting people to be part of the effort. And it's not a surprise the Department of Justice is trying to amplify this message that they've investigated threats, that they are trying to protect polling places and give people some confidence that they're doing what they can do to prevent attacks on public spots and on elections as the country is going through this toxic political moment in which we know outside forces and international forces are trying to interfere with our elections.
President Biden is set to speak with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. And Biden has hoped for a ceasefire. Netanyahu, of course, pushing ahead with a wider war in that region. Biden nearly out of the White House. What can he get done at this point, if anything?
Reopening communication might be important at this point because there are reports that the Israeli prime minister pulled back a visit to the United States by one of his top aides as they're continuing discussion over what should and should not be done by Israel as it fights the war and as there's concern about fractures in the relationships between the two countries. All of this is, you know, marinating in this politics of this election where Republicans are accusing the president and vice president of not being supportive enough of Israel, while the vice president also tries to serve constituents and voters who think Israel is not prosecuting the war correctly. This is a dangerous political moment, and there's a war going on during it.
As always, a pleasure, CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarland.